Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you. It is Friday, Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. Really appreciate you listening during this week. Hope you have been enjoying the Ultimate NFC East crossover show that we've been running all week here on the Locked On Giants podcast. Today's show will feature the last installment of that crossover. And this is pretty much one where the four NFC East hosts, myself, Chris Russell of Locked On Redskins, Marcus Mosier of Locked On Cowboys, and Louis DiBiase of Locked On Eagles, we all kind of spin it ahead a little bit to the future, and just, you know, really a fun week, a fun opportunity to catch up with these guys and also, you know, talk some football during this downtime. So again, I hope you have enjoyed that. Before we roll out that particular show, which will cover segments 2 and 3, just a couple of housekeeping notes for you guys. I asked you if you would send me lists of draft prospects arranged by schools that you might be interested in hearing about. And the reason why I'm asking you for that is I am in the process of trying to book guests that cover those schools so that they can come on and talk about the various prospects. So if I know who you guys want to hear about, I can go and I can book the correct guests in the correct order. So if you do have that a list of guys, college prospects that you want to hear about, please send me that list. You can send that to me at lockedongiantspodcast@gmail.com. Also, next week, working on some interviews. Amy Trask is going to be on the program with me. I'm working on trying to get some of the draft analysts. I don't want to say who just yet because I'm still trying to work on getting a couple of those. And then just kind of fill up the week of the shows leading up to the combine. And then, of course, on Monday, we are off the following Monday, not next Monday, but the following Monday, I am off to the combine. And there I will, of course, have live reports that I'll try and get out to you guys, if not on this podcast, through the Google News initiative that we do here at the Locked On NFL podcast. Also, we'll try and get interviews and audio clips and all kinds of good stuff to share with you guys. So it's going to be a very, very busy time once we get out to the combine. I'm looking forward to it. It means football is starting to roll back and we're out of this dead season or this dead period that we are currently in at this point in the NFL schedule. So hope you will tune in. Hope you will also check out the content that we're cranking out over on GiantsCountry.com, where we're doing draft prospect previews, roster rebuilding. Had a great film study on Lorenzo Carter and how he was misused in the defense the first 2 years. So you want to check that out. So lots of good stuff as we continue to bring you everything we can come up with for Giants coverage to keep you in the loop. All right, folks, we are going to take a short break. When we come back, it is the final part of the week-long NFC East Ultimate Crossover Show. This one will be hosted, I guess, for lack of a better word. This is hosted by Chris Russell, who is the host of Locked On Redskins. But again, it involves all four of the NFC East football hosts. So we hope you enjoy it. So stay with us.
All right, we welcome you to this Friday edition of the On the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Chris Russell from Locked On Redskins as we wrap up and continue our Ultimate NFC East Crossover Series. This has been a fun week, full of chock full of information about the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, the New York Giants, and of course the Washington Redskins. And we wrap it up as we're rejoined by my colleagues, co-hosts, and pals, Marcus Mosier of Locked On Cowboys, Louis DiBiase of Locked On Eagles, and Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants. And guys, we welcome you back, one and all. And as we wrap this thing up, we wanted to kind of finish by looking big picture at the NFC East, NFC Least, whatever you want to call it. And I'll start with Patricia, and then we'll make our way around the horn here As we kind of look forward to this 2020 season, and granted, we don't have free agency and we don't have the draft just yet, so of course a lot of this is going to change. But Patricia, if I asked you right now, who is in the best position in your mind to win the NFC East divisional title, it would be who and why?
Oh, gosh, I'm going to get slammed for this, but I'm going to say the Eagles. Yeah, I know. I should turn in my membership card here. But I'm going to say the Eagles because of the stability of the coaching. They're a little bit more proven. They have the oldest quarterback in terms of, you know, of the experience and whatnot. They still have some holes. I mean, the secondary needs to be upgraded, obviously. You know, they could probably use another receiver and some help on the back end of their defense. But I just think overall, because there's been so much change at the coaching level, you got three new coaching staffs, you know, at the Giants, at Washington, at Dallas. So I got to go with the Eagles until, you know, further notice.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think it, though, at the same time, it will be a fight down the stretch with the Dallas Cowboys, as long as, you know, it's the same core where Dak Prescott's back, maybe Amari Cooper and or Byron Jones with Mike McCarthy. I think the Eagles and Cowboys will still be fighting at the end of this thing. And don't get me wrong, I think the Giants will be more competitive as well, but I think it's still the Eagles and Cowboys division to fight over. And I really like, obviously, I host Locked on Eagles, so I'm a little bit biased, but when you just look at all the adversity this team has overcome over the last 3 years to make the playoffs 3 years straight, and now you have seven draft picks likely in the first four rounds to get some youth infused into this roster with the stability of general manager, head coach, quarterback, probably the most three important parts of an organization, I think they have the slight upper hand over Dallas.
Am I allowed to stick up for my team a little bit? I think the Cowboys have a great chance of winning this division next year because, listen, one of the things that we know in today's NFL is that defensive production is not necessarily sustainable. What is sustainable is what you can do on offense. The Cowboys were one of the league's best offenses this year, despite injuries all across their offensive line. They have a young quarterback in Dak Prescott. They're going to bring back Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup turned into an 1,100-yard receiver despite missing time. I really think with the upgrade from Jason Garrett to Mike McCarthy, keeping Kellen Moore on as the offensive coordinator, I think this has a chance to be one of the best offenses in the league. And if they can repeat that success on offense, I see that there's no reason why they can't win 9, 10, 11 games next season.
Yeah, and I'll just chime in here, and I'll say the Redskins. No, I'm only teasing. I'm just joking. I'm going to actually stay with Marcus. I understand there's some question, and Marcus just kind of went over all of it with some of the guys that they have out there, and starts with the quarterback, right? I mean, if they do something weird and they put a franchise tag on Dak Prescott and then trade him and bring in Tom Brady or bring in Phillip Rivers, maybe I'll think differently. But I do think bringing in McCarthy and bringing in his staff and having the good talent base, the good offensive line, and this is provided that everybody for the most part is reasonably healthy. But if you have Prescott and if you have Ezekiel Elliott and if you have Amari Cooper and who knows what they're going to do at tight end because Jason Witten's, you know, 390 years old and maybe he wants to go to Thursday Night Football. I don't know. And
go to New York. Please go to New York.
Right, exactly. And, you know, you have the pieces on defense, right? We know up front they're pretty good still. There's certainly some question, as there are with all of these teams on the back end. I just think Dallas is going to be, I don't want to say motivated to show Jason Garrett wrong, but I think motivated to say, you know what? We kicked the bucket last year. We've got a good guy fired, right? He may not have been a great coach. We got a good guy fired. And now is our chance at redemption. And you saw what Matt LaFleur did with that Green Bay Packer team. You see these turnarounds quickly in the NFL. And again, I always like a team that has a lot of talent that then brings in a new coach because they underachieve to be that team to take the next logical step up. So I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys.
No, that's a good point, too, because even the Eagles themselves, I mean, you look at Chip Kelly kind of took over a win now roster and got 10-6 2 years straight, and Doug Peterson almost the same thing. I mean, the Eagles weren't that far off. They had a lot of bad contracts that Chip Kelly gave out, but Doug Peterson took over for a similar situation. So, Chris, I think that logic is sound for sure.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it doesn't work out, right? I mean, I go all the way back to 2010, you know, when Mike Shanahan took over the Redskins, two-time Super Bowl champ, you know, they were a six-win team in year one because they made a couple of disastrous deals and things kind of backfired with Donovan McNabb and so on and so forth. So sometimes it doesn't always work out. But again, I would also say the difference between the rosters is what I'm pointing to, because I'm more of an, you know, a Jimmy and Joe versus an X and O type of guy. But I realize the X's and O's and just kind of the culture change or the motivational type things can spin some things around. All right, guys, let's get to this as we continue along on this, you know, Friday edition of the Ultimate NFC East Crossover. And we kind of spin you a big picture around the NFC East. What concerns you guys the most about the different opponents in the division? Why don't we start with Louis DiBiase of Locked On Eagles, and then we'll go to Marcus, and then we'll finish up with Patricia.
So about the opponents in the division or with the schedule next year?
Yeah, about the opponents in the division. Like what would you say is, you know, something that jumps out at you and you say, you know, good or bad, I guess. I mean, good. Right. From, you know, good from a, it would hurt your team, the Eagles.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
You know, maybe bad, a weakness, if you will, that the team has that's bad for them.
Yeah, look, the Eagles need secondary help. Everybody knows that. They've needed secondary help since probably Asante Samuel left in 2010. So it's been a decade of this. So I don't plan on that. Like, I hope that they can bring in young guys in the draft and maybe free agency to fix this position, but I'm going to assume they don't. And that will still scare me against a lot of these teams, because the Giants have a lot of athleticism at wide receiver. Golden Tate, Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, the Redskins, Terry McLaurin just destroyed this defense twice last year. You look at the Dallas Cowboys too, with Amari Cooper, and you know, Randall Cobb's a free agent, but Michael Gallup as well. Like, all three teams have a lot of explosiveness at wide receiver, and that concerns me, because if the Eagles cannot fix the cornerback position, regardless of how bad these teams are, and regardless of, you know, you look at how bad Dwayne Haskins was to start, he can go into Philadelphia and say, I'm just going to give Terry McLaurin a chance. And odds are, as long as the quarterback is willing to push this secondary, they're going to score points. So that's something that I'm still concerned with, that if the Eagles can't get it right at that position, cornerback specifically, that the division matchups are still going to be as close as they were last year.
Marcus, what concerns you the most about, I guess, the Cowboys and as we kind of look forward, you know, on 2020?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's a little discouraging is how good everybody's defensive line seems to be lately with, you know, inside the division. Washington, we think they are probably going to draft Chase Young, and they might just have the deepest pass rush in the entire league. Obviously, Philadelphia has, you know, outstanding rushers, Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox. And then the Giants, you know, they've invested a lot of resources into their interior defensive line. We'll see what they do on the edges. But for, you know, the last 5 or 6 years, the Cowboys' biggest strength was their offensive line against everybody else in the division. Well, with their offensive line getting older and starting to break down a little bit more over the last couple of years, it's a little concerning with just how good the rest of the division is across the defensive line.
And Patricia?
I'm going to go with the Giants pass rush, and I'm going to include the back end, because obviously the front end and the back end have to work together. The Giants have been hoping for Lorenzo Carter to step up, you know, last year in his second year, didn't really have the impact they were hoping for. They added O'Shane Zimenez. Now he showed some progress, definitely. They have to make a decision on Marcus Golden. Are they going to bring him back, or are they going to maybe look to get a guy like Isaiah Simmons in the draft, or maybe they're going to sign somebody? We don't know. So I think between the guys on the edges, and then you have the back end of that defense, you know, can those young cornerbacks hold their coverage to allow the front guys to do what they need to do? And the pass rush was a problem for the Giants last year, and I'm just very, very interested to see how that shapes up moving forward.
Yeah, and I'll just add, you know, for the Washington Redskins, I'm, you know, most intrigued, concerned, alarmed, you know, by what this new coaching staff already thinks of Dwayne Haskins before they even take to the practice field. There are certainly some strong indications and some rumblings that this new coaching staff knows that there are some maturity issues, as we discussed earlier this week, that this coaching staff already knows that he did not work very hard, that that's the book on him. And I know in talking to people inside the building and outside the building, you know, there are plenty of people, remember, that are still here, even though some of them got blown out, i.e. Jay Gruden and others, that did not want Dwayne Haskins here. And some of those people are in positions of power. I'll just say it like that. I really wonder, are we going to have a situation here where the Redskins are going to sign a veteran quarterback in free agency because they don't know enough about Alex Smith and his leg to be able to count on him, yet they're stuck paying him $21 million under the cap? Or do they draft another kid higher than we thought because, well, you know, the new coaching staff, and they're not beholden to Dwayne? I think it's going to be a fascinating watch inside and outside before the season, and, of course, if we even make it to the season, you know, on what they do ultimately with Dwayne Haskins. All right, guys, let's take a quick time out here, and we'll come back and we'll finish up more on this ultimate NFC East crossover as we kind of look big picture at the NFC East right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Good to have you with us. And we wrap up this special edition of the ultimate NFC East crossover. I'm Chris Russell from Locked On Redskins, once again rejoined by Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants, Marcus Mosher, Locked On Cowboys, and Louis DiBiase of Locked On Eagles. All right, guys, we take it home like this. We talked about some of our concerns and fears. Give me one thing, one big picture thing that we love about the respective teams that we cover. We'll start ladies first. Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants.
Wow. I'm going to say I like the offense. I like the skill position players. Saquon Barkley, I think they're finally going to get him out in space. They're going to finally take better advantage of his skill set. And I think they're going to try and maybe even build that offense around him. And I'm very anxious to see what they do with him. I like, you know, Darius Slayton, he came on strong. They need to still add a little bit more speed at that receiver position, but you know, I think the trio of Slayton and Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate, I like that. If Evan Ingram can stay healthy, I think Daniel Jones is going to have some really, really good weapons to work with. And I even think that the offensive line, you know, even though it still needs a couple of pieces left, the offensive line is going to be better than what we saw last year with the new coaching.
Let's go to Marcus Mosher, Locked On Cowboys, and Marcus, get what you love about your about the team that you cover, the Dallas Cowboys, of course.
Yeah, I'm excited for the Cowboys to go into the 21st century in terms of analytics. Now with Mike McCarthy, I know McCarthy doesn't scream as an analytic guru, but he spent the last year learning about some numbers and data and being more aggressive on fourth down. That's going to be a pretty drastic change from Jason Garrett, who has been widely viewed as one of the league's most conservative head coaches. I'm excited to see what this new look Cowboys offense is like and to see what an aggressive head coach looks like here in Dallas.
And Louis, why don't we finish up with you on that?
As for the Eagles, I mean, this is a team that obviously I'm very happy with the head coach, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz. I think when you have the head coach and quarterback position down pat for the future, that's how you sustain success. But what I really like too is the opportunity they have now. You know, you don't have the entire Super Bowl core left, but you have enough of it where when things got tough the past couple of years, that core could still carry you into the playoffs regardless of circumstance. And now you can kind of find that balance with that and also some youth, because you have likely 7 draft picks in the first 4 rounds. And you had a lot of young guys last year help carry that team into the postseason, like Miles Sanders and Greg Ward. And on the defensive side of the football, guys like Josh Sweat on the edge and Avante Maddox and, you know, even TJ Edwards, who they got undrafted last year. I just think there's a better balance now heading into 2020, where they're not going to be the second oldest roster in the league like they were last year behind the Patriots. And you have Carson Wentz that really took over and embraced that role of really carrying the offense, and I feel like the team embraced him moving forward. Now there's not that whole Foles Wentz beef, and I think you'll stop seeing the anonymous sources talking behind his back as well. So I just think it's good to have that. It's not necessarily a rebuild, but that retooling, because now there's going to be a much needed balance of youth and that experience that's gotten you on these deep runs the past few years. So I think things are it's a big offseason, but I'm very optimistic.
Yeah, and for me on the Redskins, you know, one thing that I love about them, and guys, we've talked about this really throughout the week, is that Redskins front seven, especially if you add Chase Young and you keep Ryan Kerrigan, and, you know, those are big questions right now. But that Redskins front seven has the opportunity to wreak a lot of havoc. Now, we've seen teams with a lot of hype and all that. I think the Redskins have a lot of talent, especially, again, if you add Chase Young. I don't think they'll get so much hype that it'll be off the chains ridiculous that they will, you know, they might underachieve based on expectations, but nobody will think that they're like the 2000 Ravens or anything like that. You know, but they have a chance to be a top 10 defense. They have a chance if they can stay healthy and put everything together and get home and not miss tackles and not get, you know, out of gaps and not have terrible communication, some of the things that the new coaching staff is worth, they have a chance to be a top 10-ish defense. And that will be a huge thing. They've got to get better on third down. They've got to get better at stopping the run, and they've got to get better at communication. All things that I know Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera are working on currently as we speak. So to me, I'm excited about that front seven for the Redskins, because I think it'll make up for some of their questions and their holes in the secondary, and as well, quite honestly, some of the up and down inconsistencies of their offense. Guys, why don't we finish it up, you know, this way? So, you know, because of course we're running out of time here as we kind of wrap up this ultimate division crossover. I'm curious as to who you guys look at as. Maybe this isn't a fair question because the Giants and Redskins have kind of been down. But Louis, I assume you look at the Cowboys as being the Eagles' top rival, and Marcus, you kind of look at the Eagles. But is that fair considering that the Redskins and the Cowboys are kind of a more traditional rivalry? How do you guys all look at that?
I do think the Eagles-Cowboys one is the most famous, I think, across the country. But I'll say personally, look, I hold a vendetta against the Washington Redskins growing up as much as I did the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, I'm a younger Eagles guy, so I grew up during the Deshaun. I know I'm really aging myself here, only at 22 years old, but when I was really getting into football, Deshaun Jackson was the thing on the Eagles offense. And when he went to Washington and just started destroying the likes of Bradley Fletcher and who else was on that? Kerry Williams and Byron Maxwell for 4 years. Washington, you know, Kirk Cousins used to have their number in RG3, so I think the Eagles-Dallas rivalry is the most famous one, but I'll say personally, I think the Washington rivalry as well is equally as big.
Marcus, what do you think?
It's so tough. I would just say they're all about the same for the Cowboys. There's always a massive target on the Cowboys' back, so right. It's hard to say one of these teams is worse than the other or a bigger rival than the other, but let's just say I hate all three of you guys equally.
Well, we love that's you.
That's a good
you,
one.
Appreciate it.
Exactly. Yeah. No offense to you. You're just part of those stinking Cowboys. All right, Patricia, what do you think?
You know, this is an interesting question for me. I would say probably the Eagles, because dagnabbit, we cannot figure out how to beat the Eagles here at the Giants corner of the world. But with that said, having I have a book coming out on Giants history later in the spring, and having done the research for the book, one of the greatest rivalries of the Giants history is with Washington. They played some really, really tough games against each other, probably because, you know, they're one of the oldest or two of the oldest franchises in the NFL. So I would say modern day Eagles for sure. But I think overall, you got to put Washington right up there.
Yeah. See, around here, it's Dallas week, right? Dallas week. But there is no Philadelphia week or Giants week. And I often say Redskins fans don't really, you know, have any feelings one way or the other towards the Giants. They don't like the owner because of the whole salary cap penalty a couple of years ago, but that was Bruce Allen's fault. Anyway, so I would just say this. To me, there is no such thing as taking one divisional team and hating them the most and having this ridiculous rivalry. Quite honestly, there's six games, right, that you play inside the division, and each one of them is equally as important as the other. So to me, I know this is a cop-out, I think the Redskins fans shouldn't like Giants fans or Cowboy fans or Eagle fans and Redskins players, vice versa. They shouldn't. They should have respect for their opponents. They shouldn't like those particular teams, but not one over the other. To me, the Dallas week has always been ridiculous around here. So that's just my own feeling. These games are obviously always important. Guys, before we say goodbye, I want to go again around the horn and let you all plug and promote where people and fans of different teams can catch all of your great work, because we're wrapping up a really cool week here on the Ultimate NFC East Division Crossover. Why don't we start with Marcus and Locked On Cowboys?
Yeah, of course. I'm at Marcus_Mosher. You can listen to the podcast at Locked On Cowboys. We post a link there every day. Make sure you follow my co-host, Landon McCool, at McCoolBCB. We got a lot of cool shows coming up with the draft and free agency, so making sure you guys are checking in on that.
Louie?
You can hit us up on Twitter at Lockdown Birds, or I'm on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE, and my co-host Gino Camilleri is Gino_LOE. And the podcast is on any platform and LockdownEagles.com. And my written content is on 97.3ESPN.com.
And Patricia?
And you can find me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A. You can find my written work over on GiantsCountry.com, which is an SI.com sports channel.
All right, and always, you guys forced me into the last and final word here, right? The last spot. So I'm just going to keep clawing. One of these days, I'm going to be at the top of the mountain and looking down upon all of you. You can find me, Chris Russell, Locked On Redskins, at Locked Redskins on Twitter, or my individual Twitter account, at WrestleMania61. You can check out written work with some video at RedskinsReport.com, like Patricia, part of the SI.com NFL Team Channel Network. Guys, this has been a blast all week long working with all of you guys and really getting some good insight. And I hope our listeners of all the teams enjoyed it. I think we're going to do this again, you know, post-draft, post-free agency, when we really have nothing to talk about in June and July. But this has been a really cool thing that we've been able to do. So I want to thank each and every individual one of you guys.
Yeah, thank you guys as well. It was a great time.
Absolutely. Had a blast.
Absolutely. All right. So we'll send you off, Redskins, Giants, Cowboys, and Eagle fans, into the weekend by saying thanks for being with us, as always, each and every week, especially this week on the Ultimate NFC East Crossover. For my colleagues and co-hosts, Marcus Mosher of Locked On Cowboys, Patricia Traina of Locked On Giants, and Louie DiBiase of Locked On Eagles, I'm Chris Russell from Locked On Redskins. Have a great weekend. Thanks for being with us all week on the Locked On Podcast Network. Adios.